All right, well, I am very excited. It's not often that I get the opportunity to stand before you guys and preach, so every chance that I get, I want to thank Pastor Vince. I know he's not here, but letting someone fill in for you in the pulpit is a huge responsibility, and so I'm just very honored that he thought of me and that he gave me this chance, so I'm just excited. So today, we are going to be in 1 John. Chapter 1, and we're going to look at the first four verses. So 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. So as you're turning there, I want you to think about a couple questions. Okay, and so now these questions, they may seem kind of easy at first. All right, so the first question I want us to think about is, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Now, I could probably ask everyone in this room, and you can give me a very accurate and biblical definition of who Jesus is. But this morning, I want us to think about who is Jesus. But the second question is, why is knowing who Jesus is really that important? So the first question was, who is Jesus? But my second question is, why is that question so important? Why is having an accurate understanding of who Jesus is so important? Well, there's an author, his name is Daniel Aiken, and he said this, and I really thought it was an awesome quote. He says, "Christianity stands or falls on the person and work of Jesus." So who Jesus is as a person and what he did when he came to earth, everything about Christianity stands or falls on that, on who he is. Who Jesus is to you, who you believe Jesus is the foundation for everything that we believe. If what we know and what we believe about Jesus is a lie, all of our hope, everything that we strive for, everything that we try to serve God for has been in vain. Because who Jesus is, being able to understand that is foundational for who we are as Christians. One of my favorite authors, his name is C.S. Lewis. I think most of us have probably heard of him. He wrote some really cool books called The Chronicles of Narnia, and so those are like the first book series I think I've ever read. And so kids, if you like to read and you haven't read them, read those books. They're really, really cool. But he wrote another book that I really enjoyed. It's called Mere Christianity. And if you've never read that book, you really need to read it. And in it, he said a quote, and he talked about how Jesus, that there's really four ways that we can take who Jesus is or what he claimed to be. We know that Jesus said that he was the Son of God. And so there's really four ways that we can take that. We can look at Jesus as a liar. You know, he could have been a liar. He could have been someone that knew who he really was, but claimed to be something that he wasn't. So he could be a liar, or he could have been a lunatic. So he could have been someone that was claiming to be somebody that he was not and had no idea who he really was. He could have been crazy. Or he could have been a legend. And so what he meant by that was Jesus was just somebody that other people made more of a big deal than he really was, right? That Jesus just had this legend about him. Or the final possibility was that Jesus is Lord. That he was, in fact, who he said he was. That he was God's son. And that he demonstrated that through his birth, through his life, through his death, and his resurrection. And when it comes to who is Jesus, in our context in the 21st century, there's constant confusion, distortions, inaccuracies, and flat-out denials of who Jesus is. There's people that say that Jesus was just a man, that he came, he really did live on this earth, but he didn't raise from the dead, that was just a hoax that his disciples made up. There are people that flat out deny that he was even a real person. That was probably the strangest one for me to encounter. I had a friend that she just said, Jesus never exists. And I just kind of looked at her like she was a crazy person. And I was like, well, Jesus was a person. I was like, we can disagree if he was God, but he was really a person. But there are people that try to deny that. And in our culture, who Jesus is constantly combated. And who we believe as Christians Jesus is going to be something that in our schools, that our kids are going to be taught, that in high school, especially colleges, that question of who is Jesus is something that everyone is going to be just struggling with and telling us that what we believe is wrong. John, one of Jesus' most beloved disciples, he was an apostle. He was the author of the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and Revelation. He faced the same challenges that we face now in the first century. See, when John was writing, when he was ministering and preaching after Jesus, after he died and after he was risen again and after he ascended into heaven, John was facing false teaching in the church where they were saying that Jesus was God, that they believed that he came to earth, but they were denying that Jesus was human. We'll talk a little bit more about what that teaching, the name of it, but they were denying the humanity of Jesus. They were denying a key piece about who Jesus is. And for John, this belief demonstrated that these people weren't really saved. And so John, to combat this, he wrote these epistles, and specifically 1 John. And he wrote them around 80 AD, but he wrote them to Asia Minor churches in that area. And so the churches were kind of like in a big circle. So he would write to one and they would just pass it along. And that's where this false teaching was very prevalent. And Asia Minor now is like modern day Turkey. So when Pastor Vince and Miss Kim come back, you can ask them more about that area. They can tell you about it. But for this particular epistle, this letter of 1 John, John had four purposes that he wanted them to get. He wanted to promote joy for the Christian. He wanted to prevent them from sinning. He wanted to protect from false teaching. And then he wanted to provide assurance of those believers' salvations. And as you read through 1 John, I encourage you, it's a very short book. Read through it. You will see all of these things very, very specific. I write to you so that you may have joy. I write to you so you may know. There's that assurance. So his purposes are very clear. And so in trying to meet these purposes, there's three reoccurring themes that come up all throughout this book. We see that he wants people to have a right belief in Jesus. He wants them to have right obedience to God's commands. And he wants them to have a right love for one another. And for John, having a right belief in Jesus, knowing who Jesus is, what we're going to be talking about this morning, means that you are going to have right obedience to all of God's commands. That when you know who Jesus is, when you know that God came to this earth, became a man, and he walked among us, when you truly get that, that you're going to want to obey him. And that when you want to obey him, when you have a right obedience to him, that you will then have a right love for everyone around you. And that's what John wanted these churches to get. And that's what he wants us to have this morning. And so John begins this first letter, by affirming the physical reality of Jesus having come in the flesh. He was directly going against this false teaching that Jesus was not human. They believed that Jesus was just a spirit, that he walked in spirit form like a ghost among people, that he did things because he was God, but that he wasn't actually human. But John was, as an eyewitness, as a firsthand person that saw Jesus, he was denying all of this. And so as we begin reading in 1 John 1, we're going to see probably one of the most foundational beginnings in the Bible. There's four, I think. There's Genesis 1:1, where everything was created. That was the beginning. There's Mark 1:1, where we see the gospel beginning. the life of Jesus. There's John 1:1 where we see that Jesus was there at the beginning, and then there's 1 John 1 where we see Jesus as the true incarnate Son of God. So I want to ask if everyone please stand with me, and we're going to read and look at our text this morning. So in 1 John 1, we're going to read verses 1 through 4. The Bible says, "What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete." Let's pray together. Dear God, we just thank you so much for this time where we can come and study your word. And God, just pray that you will help us to be diligent in how we approach your word, and that we would just seek to only hear from you. And God, I pray that you wouldn't let me say anything, add anything. God, that I would just speak directly from what your word says. And God, I pray that you will be our teacher this morning. And God, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you may be seated. So as we see from just reading those first four verses, that John, he is very concerned with us knowing and to know rightly the word of life, or Jesus. This Jesus who invaded space and time, he left heaven to come to earth. He allows us to have fellowship and intimacy with God, and John wants us to know him. And so in this passage, we see three truths about who Jesus is. So there's three truths that we can see in this passage about who Jesus is. And so the first truth is that Jesus is divine. Or another way to say that is Jesus is God. So if you want to know who is Jesus is divine. Jesus is God. So in verse 1, John said, "What was from the beginning?" So we see from the beginning. Now there are some people that, when they read from the beginning, like, oh, John's talking about from the beginning when Jesus came to earth. So what was from the beginning, those things that we've seen. But I think if you really look at what John believed about Jesus, he said in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then later down in verse 14, he says, "The Word became flesh." See, John believed that Jesus always was, and that he was God, and that he was there with God, and that he was in the beginning with God, and that all things were created through him. So here when we see that what was from the beginning, and him talking about Jesus, we see that John believes that Jesus always was. There was never a time that Jesus did not exist. There was never a time where Jesus had to be created or that he came from something. Jesus always was. Because he's divine. He is God. And John wanted them to have an accurate understanding of this fact. That Jesus, yes, he was born. Yes, he became a man. But Jesus was from the beginning. He always was. And on down in verse 2, in the second half of verse 2, I'll read the whole verse, it says, "And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us." Again, John says, Jesus was with the Father. He was with him. He didn't come from the Father. He wasn't created by the Father. He was with the Father. Because Jesus is God. He is divine. Now, this false teaching that was going through the church during this time. They believed that Jesus was God. They had no problem believing that Jesus was a divine being. They had no problem believing that Jesus was God that came to earth. And we find that even, you know, Jesus believed that about himself. We see in John 8, chapter 8, verse 58 in the Gospel of John, Jesus said to a group of people, he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." So when John said he was from the beginning, this is something Jesus said about himself. He said, "Before Abraham was, I am. I've always been." And Jesus also said in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 30, that he and the Father are one. So Jesus taught and Jesus believed, and so did John, that God and Jesus were one. That Jesus was not just a man, but that he was God himself. And so when we try to decide for us, who is Jesus? You have to remember that he is divine. He is God. He is not just a man that came to live a perfect life and to give us good morals, because there's a lot of people that want you to believe that. Yeah, he has a lot of good teachings. Those Christians, they're good people. They believe in Jesus. He was a good moral teacher, but he wasn't God. I'm here to tell you that that is a lie. That is a lie from Satan that he wants us to believe, that he wants our children to believe, that he has crept into our schools, that they tried to say, hey, Jesus was an all right dude, but he's not God. No. Jesus was from the beginning. So you need to hold on to that truth when you try to decide who is Jesus to you. He is divine. But the second truth is that Jesus is human. So yes, he's divine. Yes, he is God. But Jesus is also a human. In verse 1, it says, what was from the beginning, so we see that he was divine, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands. See, John, he was one of the 12 disciples, but he was also one of the three closest disciples to Jesus. He was in Jesus' inner circle. So if anyone had firsthand account or could give an accurate description of who Jesus was while he was on earth, it would be John. And John says that he heard with his ears Jesus, that he saw with his eyes Jesus, that he touched him with his hands, that he wasn't just a spirit, that he wasn't just a divine being, but that he touched Jesus. He heard him. He saw him. He was there with him. He saw him eat. He saw him be human. He saw him die. He saw him bleed. Jesus was human. We go on to see in verse 2, it says, and the life was manifested. And what we have seen and testify and proclaim to you, the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. See, it says Jesus was manifested. Jesus came to this earth. John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus was human. See, these first two truths, that Jesus is divine, that Jesus is God, and that Jesus is human, we need both of them. We can't just say that Jesus is God, but that he wasn't completely human, because then we have a God that came and he lived a perfect life, but he never was human. He never was like us. He never experienced the things that we experienced. He never went through the things that we went through. So when we try to find someone that could take our place as a perfect sacrifice, Jesus doesn't fit if he wasn't human. See, God needed to punish sin because all of us are sinners. Everyone in this room, all of us have sinned against God. In Bible school last week, we taught that, I think, almost every day, that all of us have failed God at some point. We've told a lie or we've disobeyed our parents. We've thought evil or mean thoughts. And so because of that, God has to punish sin. He has to punish us as humans. So yes, Jesus came and he lived a perfect life because he was God. But if he wasn't human, his sacrifice means nothing. If he wasn't fully human, him dying on the cross for our sins means nothing. That's why this is so important, this truth that Jesus was human. Now, if Jesus wasn't God, then he could not be perfect. He could not fulfill and be that perfect sacrifice that we need. So we need a Jesus that is fully God, but we also need a Jesus that is fully man. These two truths have to go together. And what's cool when you think about it, when you think about Jesus being fully God, you look up. And when you think about Jesus being human, you know, it's like us, right? And what does this look like? It's a cross. Jesus is fully God, and he's fully man, and only someone that was completely God and then also completely human could do what Jesus did on the cross for us. So that's why these truths are so important. But there's a third truth, and that Jesus brings passion. So Jesus is divine. He is God. Jesus is human. He's 100% man. But when he enters into this world, he brings a passion that cannot be contained. This first way this passion demonstrates itself, there's a passion to share. Think about those first 12 disciples. The impact that Jesus had on them is one that we cannot put into words. They were radically changed, and they literally turned the world upside down. They literally changed everything about the culture that they were in. They went against all of the norms, all of the customs, even the religious customs. They went completely against them. They turned everything around. And all of that happened because of Jesus. In the first chapter of 1 John, if you look at verse 3, it says, "What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us." See, this passion that Jesus brings, it comes forth first in proclaiming who Jesus is. When you have a right understanding of who Jesus is, you can't help but tell others. Me, Hunter, and Noah, we talked this morning about in Sunday school about discipleship and what that means and how discipleship is really just teaching others about who Jesus is. And I told them whether it's just one verse that you read and you learn something that you never knew before, when you learn that about Jesus, you should want to tell everybody. You don't have to be like me and stand up in front of you all and preach, because it's really scary, so I would recommend you don't do that, okay? But it could be as simple as, hey, read this verse that I read today. And that's it. Just read this. I thought this verse was really awesome and it spoke to me. That's you proclaiming the truth about Jesus. Or maybe you want to explain a little bit further about what that is, but when you truly know who Jesus is, when you truly get to know Jesus, this man who is 100% human but was also completely God and divine, you want to proclaim it with everybody. Because Jesus will just bring a passion to you, just like he did these disciples. But it's not just a passion to share the gospel, but it's a passion to share your life with others. Look again in verse 3. It says, "What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you so that you may have fellowship with us." See, this word fellowship, it comes from a Greek word, koinonia, which is really hard to say. But it means sharing in common something that is significant or something that has impacted your life. This fellowship is not just, all right, we're going to be together and we're going to hang out. No, it's fellowship with someone that has something that is foundational to your life in common with you. Look at your family. You can fellowship with your family. You can have a bond with your family, with your mom, your dad, your brothers, your sisters, maybe aunts and uncles. You can have a bond with them, a fellowship with them that is unlike anything else. And the reason is because you're all from the same family. You're related. You have this bond that can't be taken away by anybody. Now, as Christians, we too have a bond. A bond that is greater than any blood bond, any racial, cultural, economic bond. We have a bond that transcends all of that. And the fellowship that we should have a passion to want to fellowship and be with everyone that believes the same things we believe about Jesus. No matter what their color is, their gender is, any of that, if they believe that Jesus is who he says he is, 100% God, 100% man, we should want to fellowship with them. See, the reason it says that John was proclaiming was so that they could have fellowship with them. Yes, he goes on to say, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. But first he says, so that you can have fellowship with us. What we believe about Jesus is not just for you. It's not just for me. Yeah, it's great that we can come and come to Bible school and learn all this great stuff. But it's not just for you. It's great that we can come here on Sunday morning and read in his word and learn more about it. But it's not just for us. John said, we proclaim these things so that you could have fellowship. He had a passion to proclaim the good news of Jesus, but also a passion to be with other people that believed in Jesus. There was no rooms for cliques. There was no rooms for, okay, I'm going to be with my group. You could be with your group. There was no room for any of that. He wanted fellowship with everyone that believed in Jesus. Do you have that passion? Do you have that want to be with other people regardless of what they look like, what they act like, but if they believe in Jesus? Do you have that passion? Because that's the passion that Jesus brings. But Jesus also brings a passion to enjoy life. In verse 4, it says, these things we write so that our joy may be made complete. It says there is a joy that is a complete joy. A joy that is all that we could ever need. A joy that won't ever lack anything. A happiness that you can never find in another person, that you can never find in a job, that you can never find in wealth. There is a joy and a happiness that can only be found, that can only come from Jesus. And it says, these things we write, so what he's written before and the message to follow, so these three things that I told you about that he wanted this church to know, have a right understanding of God, of who Jesus is, have a right understanding of what sin is or how to obey God, and then to have a right love for each other. That those three things, he wrote those so that our joy could be made complete. So you want to have true happiness in your life? You need to know Jesus. And not just know him, but fully understand who he is. And only then can you have true happiness. Jesus said himself in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 11, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. He also says in chapter 16, verse 24, until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Jesus brings all joy, a complete joy, and also a joy that comes from the fellowship with each other. If we can't come to church and be happy, like I've always heard preachers say that when you come to a church on a Sunday morning, Wednesday night, whenever it is, you should see the happiest people in the world. And how many times do you just see us? We just sit there. When is Brandon going to stop talking? And I get it, all right? But we should be happy because we know Jesus. We should have a joy that other people want to know because we know Jesus. We know God who became flesh, who was completely God but completely man. That should make you happy. No matter what goes on in your life, no matter what struggles you have, whether it's battling a sickness, whether it's losing a loved one, whether it's having friends that you're not getting along with, whether it's losing a job, whether it's whatever it is, you still know the creator of the universe who became a man for you and died on a cross and then defeated death. That should give you joy. So this morning, I want to ask you, who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus really to you? Is he just a story? Is he just some man that you hear about on Sunday mornings when you come to church or in Bible school and you know, you said a prayer and all this good stuff? Or is he the Lord of everything? Now, for those of you in this sanctuary today, if Jesus is not your Lord, if you've never come to that point in your life where you've realized that Jesus truly is everything that he said he was, this morning you could make him the Lord of your life today. The altar will be open. You could come talk to me, talk to one of our deacons. Today could be the day you make Jesus the Lord of your life. But for those of you where Jesus already is your Lord, if you truly say that you follow him, do you have a passion to proclaim him? Do you have a passion to fellowship with each other? Is church a chore for you, or is church something that you are passionate about because you get to be with other believers? At the Reserves yesterday, there was a lady that came up to me. Why do I need to go to church? God is everywhere. God's with me right now. Why do I need to go to church? I was like, yeah, but why do you go home to be with your girls? You could call them on the phone. You could text them, but you want to be with them, right? They're your girls. They're your family. You want to be with them. That's what church is. Do you have that passion? If you know Jesus as your Lord, if you know Jesus for who he is, where's that passion? So maybe this morning you need to make a commitment to Jesus for the first time. Or maybe you need to make a recommitment to him that you're going to proclaim who he is to people. Maybe you haven't been doing that. Maybe you've been keeping who Jesus is to yourself. Maybe you need to say, Jesus, I'm going to start sharing who you are because you're that important to me. Or maybe you need to make a commitment to Jesus this morning. Hey, I need to have a passion for your people. I need to have a passion for my fellow brothers and sisters. So as Miss Debbie comes and we're going to sing, I challenge you, think about these things this morning. Let's pray together as Miss Debbie comes. Dear Jesus, we just thank you so much for your word, and we thank you that you came to earth, that you left the glories of heaven, as it says in Philippians 2, that you left everything in heaven behind to come and be like us. And God, I pray that this morning you will give us a passion for who you are, and that we would want to love each other and to love you and to share you. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.